your Bibles, please turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 18. Exodus, chapter 18. We'll read verses 13 through 21 together. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his law. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, for thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, what a great place, and what a great God. We're so thankful that when we come here, we know that you'll be here. Father, please, in a very unique and miraculous way, reach down and touch this group of people. We're a needy people. We're a people that are much in need of a hospital spiritually, and thank you that we have this place to go to. Be with our man of God, please. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon this morning, right off the bat, and then I'm going to explain the sermon to you as I preach it. It's entitled, I Want to Meet Your Needs. I Want to Meet Your Needs. Now, I ask that there be no interruptions throughout this sermon. Please listen carefully, and I'll deliver something to you today that'll help you if you'll allow it to. Moses sat, and he, as the Bible calls it, judged the people. What that meant was he counseled. If two had disagreements, he would meet with them and help to solve the disagreements. But he was meeting just like I do. I counsel people. I meet with them. The Bible says that Moses was sitting with the children of Israel and from morning until evening, trying to help them. From sunup to sundown, he was trying to serve the people. His father-in-law comes to him and said, son, you're working from sunup to sundown. Why do you do that? The Bible says, the Bible talked about why do you do this to the people? It didn't mean he was doing something to the people. He meant, why are you so involved with the people? And Moses said, because the people need me. They keep coming to me. They want me to help them. And I want to teach them God's ways, and I want to meet their needs. Moses' father-in-law said, well, working like this, you're going to wear yourself away. You can't just work every day, sun up to sundown, with the kind of pressure and the kind of problems you're dealing with. The work is too heavy. How can you do that? You're helping so many people, but you're wearing yourself down. His father-in-law said, I have some advice for you. And this is the advice he gave. I'll read it to you. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. He said, what you do is you need to pray about
all the needs of the people. And you start asking God to help meet the needs of the people. Because, boy, if there's anybody that can handle all the needs, God can handle the needs. Now, God often uses people, and we know that. God has no hands but my hands, and God has no feet but my feet. And God needs your hands, and God needs your feet to help solve problems. But Moses' father-in-law is saying, let's get God involved. Let's pray that God will help the people. And then in verse 20, he said, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." So his father-in-law said, "You're so busy. You work sun up to sun down. You're so busy. Why are you doing that?" Moses said, "Because the people need me. They need me to help them. They need me to meet their needs. I need to solve some of these problems." His father-in-law said, "But you're going to wear yourself down. You're going to wear yourself down working like that 365 days a year. All these people." And he said, "Let me give you some advice, son. You need to pray a lot about the people's needs. Let's get God involved all we can." And then he said, "You're going to have to stand up, and you're going to need to teach all of them the laws of God and all of them the ordinances of God so they can learn to do some of these things on their own without having to talk to you about every one of them." Because the people were coming, and they were talking to Moses, and his father-in-law said, maybe they're not taught how to handle certain situations in life, and they need some teaching so they don't need so much one-on-one attention. And Moses said, "That's a good idea. That's probably a real good idea." The next thing that his father-in-law said, he said, "Now, you need to make sure, Moses, that you pick the right kind of leaders. Because if you pick the right kind of leaders, if you hire the right kind of people, they will help to solve some of the problems. They can help to serve the people." And just so you know, when I hire leaders, I hire the kind of leaders that help to carry the load. I don't hire leaders to become my fishing buddy. I don't get to think, "I just need somebody to talk to as a pastor, so I'm going to go hire somebody." I don't do that at all. We hire people that are problem solvers, not problem creators, but problem solvers. It's their job to get involved and to help carry the load. Now, I'm going to take that story. I want to talk to you. I come to you today as honestly as I know how. I want to meet your needs. I want to serve you. If you're a guest here today, I want to serve you. I want to meet your needs. If you've joined this church in the last 18 months since I became pastor, I want to meet your needs. I want to serve you. If you are part of the group of people that called me here to be pastor, and you've been in this church before I came to this church, it is my goal, my desire to serve you and to meet your needs. That's what I want to do. I'm going to tell you something. I am a busy man from sun up till sundown. You see, hospital calls people get sick and I have to go to the hospital at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. There are so many duties. There's so much that must be done. Oh, it's busy. It's very busy. Any church that has grown like our church, it's a very busy church. And I stay very, very busy. You know, even when I take a little time off, I call the office every hour on the hour. I make sure all the problems are solved. You say, "Why?" Because I'm trying to help you. That's why I'm here. I'm here to solve problems. I'm here to help the people. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm here. Let me explain. This church is much like a hospital. Well, guess what? If I'm the surgeon, I'm going to have to be available 24 hours a day. There's no choice. Hospitals don't close down. Hospitals are not supposed to close down. Why? Well, we want to help people. Spiritually sick people are welcome here. They're welcome here. Now, listen, you don't kick the spiritually sick people out of the church anymore than you go down to the emergency room and start kicking people out of the emergency room at City Hospital because they have an emergency. So we're here to doctor people. That's what it's all about. I am a general practitioner. I help people in all areas of life. It's hard for me to understand, but this actually happens. I've had pastors from other churches in this quad state area send their members to me and said, will you please help my member because they need help in an area in which I'm unable to help them. And I thought, why isn't he helping them? Why doesn't he develop that area of his life so he can serve his people? I'm constantly trying to learn the Bible because I want to meet your needs. I dead sure don't want to have to send you off somewhere else because I didn't love you enough to meet your needs. No, I want to meet your needs. If you got a problem and I don't understand how to solve it, you can bet your last dollar I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to study and prepare and pray, and I want to help you. I want to meet your needs. But I had someone come to me from another pastor and said, he specializes in helping marriages. I don't. I don't specialize in anything. I specialize in everything. I thought that was what I was supposed to do when God called me. I thought I was supposed to figure out every need that you have and try to fix it and try to help. Whether it's little or big, I'm supposed to be like a general practitioner. Maybe around here I'm the chief surgeon, I don't know. I've been given the responsibility of, I'm the ER supervisor. My job is to take care of the emergency room, if you will. You know, in the last few weeks, it seems like we've almost had an emergency room. Oh, deaths and sickness and on around our church. If you ever go into an emergency room area, it can get hectic. Oh, it gets hectic because everybody has an emergency. That's why they call it an emergency room. The rooms get full, and there are so many, and they all need the doctor. It's like Saturday night. You go to Los Angeles, California, I'll guarantee you on a Saturday night in L.A., the emergency rooms are full. You say, why? Because the wickedness of this world has injured so many people, and they now spiritually bleed, or they bleed in that hospital, and much like it gets around the church sometimes. Folks, I administer medicine and perform surgery as carefully and as quickly as I can. Our church has become known as one who helps a lot of people. In this area, there are hospitals that are known for helping a lot of people. Johns Hopkins is known for that. But I often will mention a hospital. The Mayo Clinic is an incredible clinic. It's an incredible health facility. But did you know something? You know that there are sometimes when you go to a place that specializes in just helping people physically, there sometimes is a wait. There, for instance, many people will wait 6 or 8 months to get into the Mayo Clinic to help get diagnosed or to get the medical treatment that they need. And our church is becoming known very quickly for a church that helps a lot of people and meets the needs of a lot of people. We have a reputation for salvaging lives. We have a reputation for receiving ambulances, spiritual ambulances, with people who have emergency situations that need healing and they need fixed up. I try to administer that medical treatment as quickly as I can. I try to administer it in Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and in counseling sessions. Whether everybody realizes it or not, every activity that this church has is a part of the medical attention that we all need because we all are sick from sin in one way or another. Now let me go on to something else, but we're coming back to what I've said so far. My preaching style and my preaching technique is this. I look for the one great truth that God wants me to preach. And I pick one topic in a given sermon, one subject for a given sermon. I pick that subject by God's leading, and I preach on it, and I teach on it the entire sermon. I hit that one truth from many different angles, if you will, but I always stay on that one truth. I keep coming back to that one truth, and I hit that one truth, and I talk about how something will affect that one truth, and then something else that will affect that one truth. My illustrations are about that one truth, and by the time I'm done in a sermon, you say, I think I got it. 45 minutes on one truth, I think I've got it. And people say to me all the time, I leave church remembering what was said, I've learned about the subject, and I feel like God has spoken to my heart about that subject. now, I'm going to leave my normal preaching style this morning because I feel like you need me to. There are so many needs represented here today that one man or one topic can't cover them all. My one great truth today is that there are many necessary truths. My one great need meter today is attempting to meet many needs. I want to meet your needs. Much like Moses, I am busy, and I want to meet the needs of the people. I'm busy sun up to sundown. I'm constantly thinking about my sermons, constantly thinking about what you need. Let me explain. I don't receive some quarterly from some denomination that's dead and dry through the mail and stand up here and pull a sermon out of it and preach it to you. I don't do that. Oh, no. I watch for the needs of the people. I watch the spiritual temperature of the church. I foresee what could be coming down the road, and I prepare us for it. We get geared up for things that would have been emergencies, but we put them out before the fire starts. That's I'm constantly looking for, what do you need? What can I do to help you constantly? Now, today, as the chief surgeon or head of staff of this great spiritual hospital, I'll step inside the ER part, the emergency room part of our church. I wish that I could take everything I'm going to say today and preach an entire 45-minute sermon on everything I'm going to say, because that's what you need. The only problem is I can't do that. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to give some emergency advice to someone in one given area. I'm going to help you for a moment. And then I've got to leave your hospital room and go to another hospital room to where I'm going to give somebody else some advice. So I'm going to give you a touch of advice, and then the minute I do, I'm going to transfer into another surgery and help somebody else. And then after I've done that, I'm going to transfer myself into another emergency situation, and I'm going to help someone else. And if you'll bear with me today, I want to meet your needs. I'm not going to take one subject and preach on it for 45 minutes. I'm going to take many subjects. I'm going to help get somebody stitched up, but we're going to have to have another little appointment here in a few weeks to see how you're doing. I'm going to preach on every one of these subjects someday, somehow. But right now, I'm going to tell you how I feel as pastor. I feel like it's Saturday night. I feel like I'm in Los Angeles, California, at the biggest hospital there. I feel like ambulances are coming in all over the place, and I don't have the manpower to get everything done. I'm staying up. I'm getting up early. I'm staying up late. I'm doing it 7 days a week. I'm trying. But I don't think I can give all of you a four-hour operation on every little thing that you struggle with, but I can give everybody enough advice and enough strength to keep you going for a few days so you can live your life and keep going for the Lord. I will not finish this sermon today. I cannot. There are too many needs. One point may apply to you, and yet another to someone else. Many may apply to you. But let me say, you can learn from every point, because if you don't have the emergency today, you may have it tomorrow. It might be wise that you prepare yourself. And so, my sermon is, I want to meet your needs. Number one, some here today need praise. You need praise. You know something, we should praise one another when we do right, and especially should we praise the right that has been done. But it doesn't hurt to pat somebody on the back and tell them they did a good job. They're growing. They did good. So let me give you some praise that I think is necessary. I can't stay here long. I've got to touch it. I've got to get to another room. There's somebody in another emergency. I've got to go and help. But you know, it's been about 18 months ago I came to this church as the new pastor. Many of you have joined us since then, but let me say, many churches that go through the transition of getting a new pastor, they have a mess. They just have a mess. The people that were there before the new pastor, they don't like the new pastor. They don't like his technique. They don't like the way he does things. And so people start choosing sides. They start wars. They criticize. In many cases, Dr. Don Smith, the previous pastor, is still here. He's one of our heroes here. And often when one pastor stays while a new pastor comes in, they fuss and fight and can't get along. And there are so many little things that could happen. But may I remind this church again, we have all pulled together and had a fabulous, almost flawless transition. And I want to say thank you. I want to say this church needs praised right now to be reminded of what has happened. And it wasn't a transition that took place on one day, June the 1st, a year and a half ago. It is a transition that takes place every day and has taken place every day since I came here. Dr. Smith and I are best of friends. He is loyal to me and I to him. The staff that I inherited have been very loyal, and I hope they know I am loyal to them. We have not had one rebellious attitude where someone lifted up their head and became full of pride and attacked within our church. We have had wonderful, wonderful transition. And I thank you for that. And somebody needs praise today. There are individuals in this church that need praise for something else. You're growing in the Lord. I am watching people take sin out of their life. Some things have been in your life for years. You're retracting those things out of your life. I may not get to you every time I see a change in your life, but let me tell you something. Your preacher sees it. I'm watching it. I'm watching the expressions on your faces, and when you used to get a sour look when I preached on a given thing, now you smile about it, saying amen, which means something. It means you have started to make a transition of your own into a holy life, and I'm proud of you. Some of you have taken sin out of your life. Some of you have put God into your life. There are some teenagers that I'm very proud of, very proud of. Some of our teenagers have come so far and making such wonderful progress, and I'm proud of you. There are faithful people that are on time and in their place, and I'm proud of you, and I want you to know that God is very, very pleased. You come and you have duties around the church and you're well prepared. You're in your place. You're on time. You have prepared yourself very well. You have a wonderful attitude while you do it. I don't have to remind you of your duties. I don't need to check up on you. You just take care of it. You're dependable. You're not an excuse maker. You're a problem solver. You just get the job done. I want you to know I'm pleased. Tickled to death. I want to praise this church for those faithful people. I want to praise our church for the unity that's not here. You know, we have a wonderful thing going here. We do not have a church full of people that cause division. And I appreciate that. I don't like these terms, but we'll use them for the sake of a lack of better terminology. We have the new crowd and we have the old crowd. But you know something? That almost does not exist. Because the old crowd accepts the new crowd, and the new crowd accepts the old crowd. And that's how it's supposed to be. And let me tell you all something. This church building belongs to nobody. It's God's. This pulpit doesn't belong to the old crowd. It's God's. Just so you know, this preacher doesn't belong to anybody. I belong to God. But we have such unity. All the individual units within our church, the little Sunday school classes, and the different little ministries, we all have one common goal, believing that Jesus Christ wants to do something big here, and everybody is helping to make that happen. We don't have one little section, to my knowledge, that's mad, and they pulled some people aside, and they're talking bad behind the preacher. I don't know. That doesn't exist in our church. We don't have one little unit that thinks they're better or more important than anybody else. Everybody knows the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and we're all just trying to serve God to the best of our knowledge and the best of our ability. I want you to know that your God is proud of you and your preacher is proud of you. But I'm sorry. I must quickly go to another surgery. I've got to leave this. I can't stay. Let me say this. Number two, some need to be challenged about the basic Christian duties of life. Some of you need to be challenged about the basic Christian duties of your life. You don't come to church other than every once in a while or Sunday morning. And I want you to know, I love you. I'm glad you're here. You say, if I don't come to every service around here, am I still welcome? Absolutely. If you don't come, I don't get a chance to teach you how to live for the Lord. But I tell you what I worry about. I worry about this. I worry about those of you that never come to church on Wednesday night. I worry about the fact that for 32 Wednesday nights in a row, I taught you about the importance of the Word of God in your life. And you didn't get it. You missed it all. Am I mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm concerned. Because when our church pulls together and for 32 Wednesday nights in a row, I teach about the importance of the Word of God in your life, we've got all sorts of people with revival going on in their life right now because for 32 weeks they realize how big the Bible is to them, but some of you missed every bit of it. Oh, no wonder you're having such a tough time. You don't have the Word of God in your life like you should. But I tried. I tried. I taught on it 32 times in a row. But I worry. So see, some here need me to meet your basic need. But I can't stay here very long, folks. Why? Somebody else has an emergency. I've got to take care of it. But for some of you, it is an emergency that you start reading your Bible. It's an emergency. You say, I'm just so confused. Get your Bible out. For some of you, it's an emergency. I taught in here for 30 weeks in a row about soul winning, telling others about Jesus Christ. You didn't get it. You weren't there. I'm not mad at you. We can't cry over spilled milk, but folks, some of you have friends that are going to die and go to hell, and you don't know one thing to tell them. You don't know one thing to tell them. I was at the hospital the other day. I picked up the telephone so I could call into the unit where Brother Frank Shepherd was. I said to the lady, I am the pastor of Frank Shepherd. May I come in? I hung up the phone. A man sitting there said this to me. He said, sir, could you help me? I said, how can I help you? He said, I'm a born-again Christian. He said, sir, my daddy is passing away as we speak. He said, I beg of you, could you take a moment and show me how to win him to Jesus Christ? He said, I want to do it myself. He said, somehow I think you know how. Would you please teach me to win my daddy to Jesus Christ? Because I'm going in the room in a moment. My dad's on his way to hell. He's dying right now. Mister, can you help me? I said, sir, you talk to the right man. I sat there in that waiting room and taught that man how to lead his own father to Jesus Christ. I gave him all the scripture. I gave him everything he needed. Now you listen to me. That was a man that doesn't go to our church. It doesn't even go to the right kind of a church. It was concerned about the souls of men. And we have people that call themselves members of this church. And you have no concern for the souls of men. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, that's an emergency, folks. You need to get that taken care of. But I'm sorry, I don't have time to teach on it. I can't right now. Some of you need to learn to pray. I've taught the last 15 weeks in a row on Wednesday night how to pray, how to get things from God. And some of you need to learn how to pray so desperately. You're bleeding. Your life is falling apart, but I'm very sorry. I'm just going to tell you what you need. I got to stitch you up. I got to move. I've got to move on. You see, I've got other emergencies I've got to deal with right now. Number three, summer morning, the loss of loved ones. I enter another surgical room. There are people here that are deeply hurting. They've lost loved ones to death. They're hurting. And folks, we all forget so quickly. We run to the aid of the hurting, the week of the death. And you know something? 2 weeks later, we forget a loved one has even passed away. But I'll tell you something. That little wife that sits at the table alone and eats her supper remembers every day. And I want everyone here to know I've not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about you. We've lost people in the last few weeks. I think of Mrs. Kistler's mom and Lester Joy's grandpa and Linda DeHaven's mom and Stella's family. And those are just a few recently. We've not forgotten about you, folks. Listen, heaven's real. They're still there. Heaven is happier today than it was yesterday. It's okay. There are others that mourn those who have not passed away recently, but in the last couple of years. But wait, there are others that mourn the loss of somebody 10 and 15 and 20 years ago. Oh, my heart bleeds for you. I wish I had time. I wish I really had all the time I needed today. I wish I could take 45 minutes, and I know I could comfort you. I know if I had 45 minutes to preach on nothing but heaven, I know I could unfold the windows of heaven and I could get us all encouraged and praising God about heaven. I can't. I can't get it all done. But there's heaven. And I've got to leave this surgical room. I've got to. Because somebody else has an emergency. And I've got to move on as the surgeon to try to help someone. Some of you have financial needs and messes. Some of you, your finances are all messed up. Some of you, it's not your fault. Sickness came. And it wasn't something you could have hindered. And now you have medical bills and it's bombarding you. Well, let me tell you something. God knows where you're at. And God knows whether it was something that you could have kept from happening or not. And God knows that you need His help. And if that area of finances is heavy on you, don't forget, God's not dead. He's still alive. Some of you even have financial problems that are self-inflicted. Overspending. Your credit cards are out of control. You're borrowing constantly, and folks, you don't borrow your way out of debt. You extend your debt by borrowing. You rob God of the tithe and offerings. You don't pay what you should to the faith promises you promise. And you have bad financial problems continuously, repeatedly. It's not changed. Same thing every year. But remember, folks, be faithful to God. Even if there's bad weather around the church, you ought to be faithful to God. And let me tell you, many of you, you don't need more money. You need more character to handle the money you have right. Why should God give you more? You say, if I had it, it would solve all my problems. You are lying to yourself. Because there is somebody that could handle your mess with your amount of money and their character. It's your character that's not handling your amount of mess. I know that seems tough, but some of you need to face it. I realize some may need some more money, but many just need to learn how to use the money that they've been given. They need to learn how not to waste it and how to use it properly. I got to read this to you. I am a blonde. And I'm tired of people treating me like a foolish child. Last year, I had several windows replaced in my house. They were the expensive, double-insulated, energy-efficient windows. This week, I received a call from a contractor complaining that the work had been done for a year, and I had failed to pay for them. My goodness, did we go round and round. I have told him that no one is going to pull a fast one on me. I may be blonde, but it doesn't mean that I am automatically a dumb bunny. I proceeded to tell him exactly what his salesman had told me a year ago. He said, in 1 year they'll pay for themselves, so why do they keep bothering me? Somehow you got yourself into some financial mess and you weren't thinking real well when you got into it and you can't figure out why they keep sending you those bills. There are people here today that I am in the emergency room. There are some of you that have financial messes on your hands. Now you listen to me. There's no problem so big that God can't solve it. We can get it worked out. Hang in there. But don't throw yourself deeper into debt. Use some good sense. But we'll get that fixed. But folks, I'm very sorry. I've got to move on. There's another emergency room. I've got to get to it quickly. Some of you have fears because of health issues that have recently come into your life. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And we've not forgotten about you. Be here tonight. Let me help you the next couple of weeks in regard to your health. Mrs. Crabb, I'm praying for you. Brother Shepherd down at the Winchester Hospital. Mrs. Redmond, Mrs. Millirons, Mrs. Linton, Mrs. West, Mrs. Compton, Maynard, Brother Lowther, Katie Shook has fallen and hurt herself in recent days. We've not forgotten. There are others. I didn't mention you. I didn't mean to hurt you, but I didn't mention you today. You face ongoing health problems or recent health problems. God loves you. Your preacher loves you. We've not forgotten about you. And listen to me. If you're facing it seems to look like a mountain climb in regard to your health, let me tell you something. God never puts anything on anybody that He will not give them the strength to handle. God never overloads you. God will give you no more than what He knows you can handle, and you can make it, and you can take it. You say, I just don't know if I can. You can't by yourself, but you can with God, and God is there to help you. and you don't need strength for tomorrow. You need to make it through today, and you go ahead and take care of today, and the worries of tomorrow will take care of tomorrow, and God is already there preparing the strength for your tomorrow. You can make it. Take it one day at a time. But I'm sorry. I wish, Brother Bush, I wish I had 45 minutes to help everybody here that has those fears today, because I know I could help you. I know if I had 45 minutes to give you hope, I would do it. I could do it. I know. I can't. There's another emergency room waiting for me. I must move on. Some need to be reminded to do their duties faithfully. Some of you need to be reminded that this is God's work, not Jeff Owens' work. This is God's work, and God's work deserves your best. Your best. Sunday school teachers ought to be well prepared instead of waiting until Sunday morning to glance through their Sunday school lesson. We need to visit our absentees before they become permanent backslidden absentees. Choir members need to be at practice faithfully. Bus workers need to be faithful. Nursery workers need to be on time. That's before the service starts. And in their place. Greeters need to show up and greet. Wait, oh, I see. That's a little job. I must have picked the wrong person. There are no little jobs in God's service, folks. None. Deacons, come to deacons' meetings every once in a while if you would. Appreciate it. Every duty in the church is important. There's no little tasks for God, folks. Every leader in this church, don't require Brother Owens to constantly remind you of your duties. Look, if it was worth doing right, it's worth doing. Let's get it done. Let's be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, and as professionally and efficiently with a good attitude as we can. I wish I had 45 minutes to preach on that. You might not like it, but I wish I had 45 for it. And you're out there saying, I'm so glad you don't. I can't stay there. I've got to deal with another emergency. You see, there are others that are bleeding, and there are areas, and I told you, I right now I just feel like there are little pockets of emergencies, and I'm doing what I can, folks. Sun up to sundown, I'm trying to meet the needs. Sermons like this, you just don't sit down and scribble them out 10 minutes before they come. I live with it. I live with it constantly. And I say to myself, oh, I need to preach on that, but wait, I need to preach on this topic, but wait, they need me, and what can I do? And right now I felt like I just got to tell y'all, we're going to get to it. We're going to fix it, but maybe a little emergency advice would help you to keep it going and doing right. Some here need to be complimented for your obedience to God. Some of you started coming soul winning. Praise God. You don't see it, but every time I step into the pulpit right over here in this section on a Thursday night and I see new faces out there, Brother Tennis would tell you, I go right to him and say, look who's here. Look who's here. They came. I say, Brother Tennis, watch out for them. Put them with the right kind of people. Help them out. I'm thrilled. To some of you, your preacher is thrilled. I wish I had a whole service to brag on you. I can't. Some of you, you've started coming to the other church services and Sunday school and the evening services. I'm proud of you. Good job. I notice you're here. Some of you put your children in the Christian school. Good job. I'm proud of you. You did the right thing. Amen. I can't tell you all I want to tell you. I can't tell you everything that's in my heart. And believe me, my heart is full. I came here to meet your needs. That's why I'm here. Sometimes your need is that I tell you when you're wrong. Sometimes your need is I tell you when you're right. I just wish I could lock us all in a room for about 8 straight hours and I could help you, because I know I could help you. Right now, you're going to have to take a little emergency and medical advice. Some of you, by the way, and I have people that are in their place. Doing what they should. There are people separating from the world and separating unto God. I'm proud of you. Good job. I've noticed it, but I'm sorry. I've got to move on. I've got to go to a totally different surgery and help someone else. For instance, some are having hardships in your marriages right now. Marriages in America are a mess. They are a mess. And I hurt for you. And I know this. You might think I'm being vain. I could help your marriage. I could help your marriage. I can't preach a whole sermon on marriage this morning. I want to. I want to desperately. Divorce is everywhere. And by the way, divorce is not God's first choice. The Bible very clearly teaches God allows it because of the hardness of the hearts of the people involved. Somebody won't get right with God. And because somebody won't get right with God, so often divorces happen. I am an enemy of divorce, but I am a friend to divorcees. I want you to have a good marriage. If you're married to the first one, let's figure out how to keep them. If you're married to the second one, let's figure out how to keep them. I'm not worried about what's already happened. I'm worried about what could happen in the future. That's all I can do. There are men in this room, you're going to have to learn how to... You don't realize what some of the most important part of your wedding vows were to your wife. Let me tell you a part that you probably missed that she caught. You promised to cherish her. The average man in here, if I ask you what it meant to cherish your wife, you have no concept. It's not anything you're practicing. You didn't even know the word was in there. You said it, but you don't know what it means. And it has to do with you treating her gently and her feeling like the queen of the house and being treated kindly and as a feminine individual. She knows she's important and loved and appreciated. And there are ladies that are desperate to be cherished. It may mean a flower. It may mean the opening of a door. It may mean a kindness and a gentleness when she's not well, because I am not a male chauvinist, but the Bible teaches the woman is the weaker vessel, which means this. Ladies can't handle all the pressure men can, and some of you men just pile it on them and pile it on them, and you don't realize it. And this is not a look down at a woman. This is me trying to get some men where they're supposed to be to cherish their wives and treat them right. You're so harsh and you're so mean. You say, well, she deserves it. You can thank God you don't get what you deserve, bud. There are wives that will not submit to their husbands. And I'm not talking about a mean man that walks around with a big stick and swats his wife on the head all the time. That's a waste of a good stick. No, I'm sorry. But the Bible very clearly teaches there's a submission issue, and the Bible clearly says wives are to submit to their own husbands. That means in the area of the physical relationship, if you are withholding it from your husband, there's some problem. That's not right. As well as just everyday kindnesses. Some of you do not have spiritual marriages. You barely have any marriage at all. You live together, but you tolerate it. And you divorce in your heart long before you divorce on paper. Some of you need to get close to God because that's the way to get close to your mate. I'm sorry. I wish I could stay. I can't stay with you right now. I can't fix your marriage right now. I hope just a little bit of what I said could help. I've got another emergency. I go into the next surgical room and I see there's some people here that need miracles. You're saying, Brother Owens, there's no way out of the mess that I'm in. None. It would have to be God. Well, God does still work miracles. Oh, yes, He still does. You do all you can and then you pray and ask God to do everything He can. I'm going to guess somewhere in between the two of you, get it done. I think of Mrs. Jean Linton. I'll tell you the truth, that woman ought to be dead. She just, everything medically was against her. Everything. I went over and spent 45 minutes with her. She's home from the hospital. She is as full of energy and rambunctious as ever. Watch out when they cut her loose. And it is a modern day miracle that Jean Linton is alive. It's not because of doctors, because they didn't even know what to do. God brought her back. And He's still alive and well. But some of you need miracles. And if you'll listen to this old-fashioned Baptist preacher, I don't know where you are, but miracles are still available. Don't you give up. But I'm sorry. I've got to change. Go to another surgical room. There are some here that are confused. Some are confused. Now listen, God is not the author of confusion. You get to your Bible. You obey your Bible. You get help. And listen, when you're confused... Don't make major decisions in your life when you're confused. You'll jump from the firing pan into the fire. You get some counsel. You get some help. Now, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and of a sound mind. And some of you need to get to the God of peace and the book of peace and the man of God and let somebody help you make right decisions. Because you go from one bad decision to another and confusion is all over your life and you're wondering what to do. I wish I could stay and help you. I know. You're saying, Brother Owens, help me with it. I can't right now. I've got an emergency I must attend to. Let me put a Band-Aid on that. I'll come back to it. I'll preach a whole sermon on it. And most of these subjects, I already have preached a whole sermon on it. You remember what I said? You weren't here? I'm sorry. Some need help with your children. Some of you realize your kids have problems. Some of you don't even see it. You don't even see it. You're too busy. You're too busy. We have young people that create division in our Christian school. They create division. You don't even see it. You don't see that they're picking up on your little negative attitude because you think you know it all. And as they hear you criticize, they're bringing it to school and telling us what you're saying. Come on. Right. And your kids are confused. Your kids are, some of you, your children are crying out for attention for you, but you're more concerned about your reputation with the church people than your own child's need. Well, I don't want to be embarrassed. I want my child to behave himself so I'm not embarrassed. You know, all parents face some of that, but let me tell you something. You ought to want your child to be helped more than you suffering some embarrassment while your child's life is developed. Some of you, you're going to have to face something. Some of you, your children are spiritually outgrowing you. And I'm not real sure what you're going to do about it unless you kick it in gear. Tell me something. Kids come to church 3 times a week. They're in all the preaching. Go out soul winning. Read their Bibles every day. Go to the Christian school. I'm going to guess they're going to grow in the Lord pretty fast, huh? Here's what's going to happen. They're going to drag some things home and ask you to start living right, and you're going to get angry with them and drive them away from God because your kids are growing at a more rapid rate than some of you are, and you're going to say, we're not going to have that here. We don't believe that way when it is exactly from the Bible, but your kids are outgrowing you spiritually, and you got problems because all you can do is attack the preacher or attack the school or attack the Bible because your kids are living right, and it is embarrassing you. Right. Some kids need help in dealing with parents. Young people, you obey mom and dad. And you do right. There are kids that don't understand why they come to church and hear the preacher preach at something sin from the Bible and we go home and we all do it anyway. And your kids are getting this idea that church is a joke. Young people, you look at Brother Owens. The Bible's always true, no matter who lives it. If every role model of your life will not live the Bible is still true. It's still true. I wish I could stay there and help you because I think I could help some of you straighten out the mess in your home. I can't. I have other people bleeding. Other people need my help. For instance, some of you think that nobody cares and that you're all alone and nobody cares. May I say to you, that is the lie of the devil. It is not true that nobody cares. This church cares. This church cares. I want to tell you something. If you're a visitor here, it's your very first time to ever be in this church. I care about you. I will help you in a moment. To every young man that's here, some of these young men that came on this ball team, you don't know Brother Owens, but let me tell you something. If you guys ever need a friend, this preacher be your friend. I'd be your friend. I care about people. That's my business, folks, people. That's my business, people. And I love people. And this church cares. And Jesus cares. And God cares. And other Christians care. Don't lie to yourself that nobody cares. That's not true. And don't let the devil lie to you. But let me ask you a question. Who knows that you care? I wish I could stay and help you realize that somebody cares, but I can't. There's another emergency. I've got to go to another surgical room and say, there's some here, listen to this very carefully, There's some here, you were troublemakers in the last church where you were at. But it was everybody else's fault, not yours. Let me tell you something. If you're in trouble at the last church you were at all the time, don't you come here and mess up our church. Don't you come here and mess up our church. And I wish I had a whole hour to preach on this one too. And I will. We'll come back to it. But I can't. I can't take the whole morning. You know, God didn't put you in this church to keep me in line. And you're going to have your hands full anyway, Sugar Plum. Don't mess up our church. Don't cause disunity here. Don't bring a bad spirit from some other church here. Now, if you had a bad spirit coming in, you can knock it off and stick around. It's not somebody saying to leave. It's somebody lets a bad spirit leave. Some of you jump from church to church. You blame everybody else everywhere you've ever been. I got a letter in my office from one of your young people that said, "Brother Owens, I am so glad we're here. We've gone from church to church. I hope our family will settle down. My dad can't get along with anybody." You want to know who? Be here tonight. I've got the letter in my office right this second. Hey, if you on a regular basis find yourself dissatisfied with what's going on around here, you're a potential troublemaker. Right. Fix yourself. You say, "I don't like that. Are you talking to me?" It must be God talking to you because I don't have anybody in mind. It's always the other preacher. It's always somebody else. Some of you, you've got problems. And I wish I had time to help you with it. We don't need any troublemakers. We don't need any church splitters. We don't need any division causers. And we don't need someone to walk around here and march guard around the leadership of the church, make sure it's being done right. You better take care of yourself. You got your hands full with yourself. And you know something? If you don't get it fixed, you're going to keep on hopping from church to church to church to church until you mess enough of them up. I already know some of your ex-pastors. They've already told me how you treated them when you left. Some people have an emergency right now. They need to laugh before they mess themselves. So let's run to the hospital washroom and see if we can help you. Some people here are considering quitting on God. You need some help today. Well, He never quit on you. Don't you quit on Him. It'd be the worst mistake you ever made. You say, "How can it get any worse?" You just wait. It can be far worse, because if you're here, you're at least in church close enough to God where He can speak to your heart. You get out of church, you'll have the mess of your lifetime, and it can get worse. Some of you ought to get it fixed now before it does get worse. But wait, I can't stop there. I can't stop and preach on that for 45 minutes. I've got to get something else. You see, there are emergencies everywhere. Some need to be reminded of His forgiveness. You've done something. It's wrong. You know it. Well, come and get some forgiveness. Because there's plenty available. What is it that haunts you that you've done that you know you shouldn't have? Who in this great congregation, instead of being in our watch night service, went out and tied one on and did some stupid things and ruined a part of your life? You've been convicted about it ever since, because on New Year's Eve you're out partying when you should have been in church with God's people. Guess what? There is forgiveness available. And there is forgiveness available not only from the God of the universe, but from the people of God in this church. We're not going to spend all of our time looking into the past and beating people up over the past. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. There's forgiveness available. Hey, you take that previous point. If you're a troublemaker in your last church, you thought it was your job to keep everybody in check and you're so smart, why didn't God call you to pastor? Why aren't you out there pastoring a thriving work? But you know what? I'll make you a promise. that's the kind of mess you had in the churches you were in the past. If you'll come here and behave yourself and you become a part of the team and you become a part of the unity, we just forget about it all and go on as if it never happened, because I believe in forgiving people. But you better keep yourself in check. But forgiveness is available. People come and say, well, let me tell you about so-and-so. I don't want to hear about so-and-so. Let you tell me about you. The past is behind us. Let's go on and live for God. And let's all pull together and not make this a place where we spend our time examining one another and trying to find something wrong with each other. I wish I could stay there. I cannot. But the forgiveness of God is available. I believe there are people here today that you have a problem and I could help you with it today. Let's go to another surgical room. You don't think this preaching's for you. You're so proud you missed your appointment with the doctor this morning. Listen, did you know that if you live in denial of the cancer they've told you you have, it will kill you if you don't get treatment? So it might be smart for some of you to let the doctor treat you when the Holy Spirit pricks your conscience and says, you know, that could be me. Maybe you ought to let the doctor of the Holy Spirit treat your cancer before it kills you. I wish I could stay and talk to you about it. I can. I'm almost finished. But let me tell you something. There are some of you who you would love to have some leadership position around the church, but you probably won't get it. You're not ready for it. And when I give it away, you're going to attack me and be mad at me. I do not think that's real fair treatment. Because if someone does attack when they're not given a leadership position, the point is proven that they didn't deserve it in the first place. So your behaving when you see something go to someone else is a sure sign of your maturity, and you probably qualify next time around just because of how well you behave. We shouldn't seek position, but opportunity to serve anyway. Some of you have high standards in this church, high standards of separation. You've been taught it all your life. You need someone to challenge you and to preach hard to you about keeping your standards high. I can and I will, but I cannot all morning long. Some of you need to hear me say, Brother Owens has not changed. I believe what I've always believed. I still believe people are to live right. I believe women and men are supposed to dress differently. But I do not have time to teach it and preach it right now. I will. But you also need to know there are others who have never been taught it a lick. They know nothing about it. They don't understand it. They never heard it taught. They never heard it preached. And they will therefore need an opportunity to grow and learn, because I can't even get them to come to church faithfully, read their Bible, or pray. I better get those things cared for before I get to the more stricter version things of separation. They're not spiritual enough to handle it yet. Some of you need to make public your salvation today. You've been saved and never told anybody. It's what you ought to do today. Some of you, you need to get baptized. You've been saved and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I can go from emergency to emergency. You know something? You've been saved and never made it public. The Bible teaches it. You need to care for it. I wish I had 45 minutes to do it. I could probably get all sorts of people to do it. So you need to get baptized. After you get saved, you get baptized. There are people that need to do it. There's somebody here today. You need to be saved. And listen to this very carefully. I wish I had 45 minutes to talk to you about the fact that there's a heaven and a hell, and you're going to go to one of the two. Either you get saved or you're going to die and go to hell. I don't have time to talk about that for 45 minutes today. I wish I did. I'll tell you, we do have a few minutes. If you'll trust Jesus Christ, it's simple to do. In a minute, we'll have what's called an invitation. In a minute, we'll all bow our heads, close our eyes, we'll stand, the choir will sing, and if you're not born again, you leave your seat, you walk down the aisle, walk up to one of the men at the end of the aisle and say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I can't preach on it for 45 minutes today. I wish I could. I come to you again, and I beg and plead for your mercy as a pastor. I feel like I'm in charge of an emergency room. And every room is filled, and I've got people in the hallways that are bleeding, that need help. And I want to take and preach an entire sermon on every one of the needs of this congregation, but I can't get it all done in one Sunday morning. So I thought I better just come in here and as quickly as I can go from emergency to emergency and stitch up and band-aid and give a little shot and say, if you'll hang in there, I'll help you with it. I'll teach it to you. I'll give it to you. I'll give you what you need. I've prayed and I've taught all I can. The rest, I guess, you'll have to hang in there and get to your God to help you with. I wish you would believe it. I wish that you would believe it. I want to meet your needs. I want to meet your needs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.